Welcome to Kingsway Caringbah, a community inspired by love to live differently. We're so glad you're here with us, engaging with God's word and taking your next step toward experiencing God, community and mission in a richer and fuller way. If you'd like to join us at one of our church locations, connect into a small group, make a financial gift, or to discover more about Kingsway, head to kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app. Simply search Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this teaching will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
Father, I just want to thank you so much for this incredible adventure that you have us on. I thank you, Lord God, that we can stand strong and secure in the truth of who you are. This morning, God, as we just look at your word, I just want to proclaim, Lord God, the truth that your word is alive and active. And Father, I pray today that we would surrender, Lord, to the things, God, that you want to share with us. Lord, that we would leave, Lord, with a greater sense, Lord, of your love. That we would be encouraged and equipped. And Lord God, for those, Lord, who come today with a heavy heart, I pray breakthrough. Lord, we believe, God, in a God that is not idle, but God, you are alive and active in our lives, and we want to honor you today and stand in the promise of who you are. So thank you, God, that you're on the move. We love you so much. Amen. Please be seated. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Jan. Is that me? We've had so much trouble with the microphone. This new setting's kind of good because I love the fact that we're all kind of a little bit more together. It's a little bit tricky because I kind of feel like a meerkat. You know, I'm going to be like doing this the whole time. So, yeah, forgive me. I'm super excited about this particular season that we're in because I feel like God is stirring things. You know, God is on the move. Yeah, you know, the stories that we hear each week of what God is doing and the way God is continuing to meet people where they're at and bring a sense of encouragement and a sense of strength and a sense of community that we're seeing people encouraged and positioned to rise up to be in the place where God wants them to be. And that is super exciting. And one of the things that I've really been praying for is that God will continue to stir his gifts in the church, that he would stir his gifts, that he would fan our gifts into flame, and that we would see more and more people with the freedom and the space to use their creativity and the picture that God has given them to bring a perspective or a creative perspective on maybe... how they see God. And I'm going to ask Greg Burns-Mikkelsen because he's been doing some of our design stuff and there's always some sort of context behind what he's doing. And so this series is called Carriers of Light. You know, that God has positioned us to be carriers of his light. And Greg, I put him on the spot. He hates being put on the spot. I said to him this morning, hey, Greg, you want to explain that piece of artwork you've got? And he's like, Jen, you didn't really give me that much notice. And I went, yeah, sorry about that. So here he goes.
Yeah, my favourite spot in the church. On a microphone, great. It's kind of hard to see. There's a purple two rings, which sort of carries on from the last series, He Is For Everyone, where we had the white circle being God, pure light, and the spectrum where all of us were parts of the different colours that made up the church. I think Carriers of Light is, we're sort of talking about like Jesus moving in us. And so I thought, well, Kim and Jess, when they put together the plan for this series, purple was like a predominant colour being sort of like royalty. And I thought, well, that's perfect. That's Jesus, right? It's like the prince. He's the, you know, King of Kings. Like, I just thought, oh, purple's great. And I thought the two rings coming together is Jesus, rather, where he is all God, but he's all man. So it's kind of, bringing those two symbols from the last series together into this one.
Perfect, hey. You know, I love that about God. There's not just one way of doing things. You know, he speaks to all of us based on the gifts and the unique way that he's called and created and made up. And I love Greg's perspective, and I love what God's doing in the whole creative space. And I'm really excited about where this is going to lead, because when I sat down with Greg this week, I said, Greg, I know what the purple's all about. And he's like, yeah, what? And I said, it's like the king. It's like royalty. It's like, that's like the king. That's the color that they use for the king. And that's what I'm preaching on this Sunday. And I was getting really excited. And Greg's like, yeah, that's great too. So anyway, let me start, huh? We're going to dive straight into the word today. So today, want to preface this by saying that we're kind of moving along a bit of a journey that God has us on at the moment, and I'm super excited about it because we're in this season of Lent, and that the season of Lent really, in its purest form, kind of gives us a way to walk with Christ through some of his most significant experiences in his life in the lead up to his death and resurrection on the cross. And the wilderness experience, which is what I'm going to speak about today, was one of his experiences. And it's interesting to see what God was actually doing in and through his life in this particular moment. So we're going to read from a couple of different passages of scripture. One is from Psalm 91, and then the other one is from Luke 4, 1 to 13. It will be up on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. Let me just put my glasses on. All right, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Moving down to verse 19. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And today's scripture is from Luke 4. 1 to 13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man does not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him with all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. We know from Scripture that when we read that, we know that Jesus was actually led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting about this particular passage of Scripture is that Jesus was led into the wilderness straight after his baptism. Straight after a moment when God had affirmed both his identity and his calling. So we know that Jesus, when he was led into the wilderness, it wasn't because God had wanted to punish him, but it was actually really the place where God was training him for his mission and the plans that he had uniquely for his role as the Son of God. Just before Jesus was actually led into the wilderness, God affirmed him in his baptism by saying to him, "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The interesting thing about these two specific things that were spoken over Jesus' life was that actually they were directed towards both his identity and his calling. That when Jesus came out of the waters of baptism, that God was directly affirming who he was and what his mission, what his calling was, what his mission was, that he was going to be led, crucified, and rise again for the forgiveness of sins. The "You are my Son" is directly connected back to Psalm 2. Where it was promised that a king would come and rule Jerusalem and confront evil among all nations. The "with whom I am well pleased" is really connected to Isaiah 42, where it said that there would be a Messiah that would come and suffer and die on Israel's behalf. It's interesting to me that when Jesus is led into the wilderness, that the two things that the enemy confronts is Jesus' identity and his calling. That he was chosen as God's beloved Son with a specific mission and calling to rescue humanity. So I wonder whether when Jesus was driven into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, that this was in preparation for his ministry. In the wilderness, he fasted, he prayed, and he faced a number of temptations. And I couldn't help but think this week when I was studying this and I was looking at this, that the temptations that Jesus faced in the wilderness are a prototype of our own temptations and challenges that we continue to face in our journey of identity as beloved sons and children of God with a specific calling that God has uniquely given to each and every one of us. See, the temptation in all of the three things, when the devil kind of leads Jesus into these different temptations, the foundation of all of those is to rob Jesus of his identity and his calling and to challenge the foundational belief that God can be trusted. You see, this story is significant because it challenges our own journey, our own temptation for security and survival, for affirmation and approval, and for power and control. Something I believe for all of us is an ongoing challenge and an ongoing temptation. that we fight for our own sense of security and survival, for affirmation and approval, and for power and control. And when we don't put God in his rightful role of God, of Lord of all, and we take the reins and we actually begin to manage our own sense of security and survival, or we look for other people for affirmation or approval, or we start to take power and control, then the reality is that we're potentially at danger of hurting ourselves and other people. Because the interesting thing about this particular passage of Scripture is it also mimics the 40 years that the Israelites journeyed through the wilderness. So what did they struggle with? They struggled with their identity and their calling. They failed to trust God for their own security and survival. They failed to trust God for their affirmation and approval. And they failed to trust God wanting their own power and control. You see, when they took things into their own hands, there was a loss of identity for the nation of Israel. In Exodus 19, it says that God declared the Israelites to be his treasured possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And in Isaiah, it says that actually they ended up being rebellious children. A pattern familiar to all of us, yeah? In our journey of discovering, in our journey of trying to understand this thing called life and the challenges that we have, that we face in our everyday life, to trust God when things aren't going the way we'd planned. How easy is it, really, to want to take power and control? To want to put ourselves at the helm in the driver's seat and not trust God in our most vulnerable moments? See, when we don't put God at the helm, and God as king over our lives, or Lord over our lives, our identity become mixed up because we don't hold the truth of who we are. God, our creator, holds the truth of who we are. Our identity is set and secure in who he says we are. And I don't know about you, but often I have a bit of a bad filter. Sometimes I think my own worst critic is me, yeah? When things go wrong, or when I make mistakes, or when I fail, or when things don't go right, sometimes my own self-talk is the greatest place of damage. Stupid, Jenny, should have known better. Come on. I need God to be speaking into who I am. That my identity is not to be determined by other people, but because God created me. He knows who I am. He knows my identity, and he knows my calling. And I need to be able to be secure in the truth of who he says I am. So the temptation that Jesus faced was that his identity was not in what he did. Turn these stones into bread. I'm thinking he's like the Son of God. I'm sure he could do that. He's like just about to turn water into wine. It was the best wine ever. So I'm thinking he could have done a loaf of bread with some honey on it. And, you know, he was super starving. It says that he was in his most vulnerable place of need. Physically hungry, tired, 40 days of fasting. But his security and survival was not on what he could do. It was what the Father could do through him. Don't you think it's interesting that Jesus said, without the Father, I can do nothing? He's like the Son of God. He can do all things, turn water into wine. But he never did it without the Father's direction, because it was about God leading him in. I know in my own life there's this sense of challenge, you know, this sense of identity that I struggle with. Like when I do good things or when I have a successful life, I feel good about myself, yeah? The challenge of that is when actually things don't quite go the way I imagined, or when I fail, or when I let someone down. My identity then goes on this roller coaster wave. I'm more than what I do. The second answer is affirmation and approval. I am what other people say about me. I am more than other people's affirmation and approval. How often is it easier to listen to the voice and opinion of other people than it is to listen to the voice and opinion about what God says about you? This is a constant challenge for me. That God says I'm his beloved daughter, that he'll never leave me or forsake me, that I'm chosen, that I'm set apart, that he has a plan for me, a plan to prosper me and not harm me, a plan for good. God's voice has to be louder than the voices of those around you, both those who affirm you and those who probably discourage you. Because the other flip side of that is I've also been in the situation where I'm looking for the approval of other people and not God's. I want to be liked by Dave. I want him to say, you're so amazing, you're funny, you're really good. That's just as damaging, because I need to be looking for the approval of the one I love, the approval of following a God in heaven who has a plan for me. When I first started preaching, you know, there'd be Brooke and there'd be Brett. I'd be looking at them going, how am I doing? Am I good? And Brett just said to me one day, stop. Your call is to be obedient. Leave the rest up to God. You know how hard that is? When you want someone to like you and to affirm you. But I've had to learn this because, sadly, in my role, not everyone loves you all the time. That's true. I've had to learn how to be strong and to be steadfast and to listen to the voice of God and to position myself that God is my anchor point. And of course I want you to love me and encourage me and affirm me, but that's not where God wants me, because otherwise it challenges my identity when I keep looking for the approval of everyone else, because it clouds out the voice of God. And how hard is it when people speak negatively about you? That's tough. We need a way of filtering those voices in our lives. Filtering the voices that don't speak truth. We need to be confident in who God is leading us and calling us to be. And the last thing that Jesus was confronted with was, I am what I have, power and control. In our culture, this is a biggie. Our identity is in, you know, so many things around power and control. We are more than our circumstances. Our identity is more than the fact that I'm Australian, or I have a certain type of parents, or I have good health, or I have a good education. It's more about the cars that I own or the house that I own, or it's more than what I have. It's challenging, I think, That these things that Jesus walked through, and the good news is that when Jesus was in the wilderness and he walked through these things, it says in Scripture at the very end, and I love this, and when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. We can't overlook the power of this passage of Scripture. You see, the devil leaves Jesus because he refused to be used for lesser purposes than what God had called and created him to be. That we are victors. We are not victims in this world. Yes, we have challenges. Yes, we go through storms. Yes, there's real life sadness and difficulties that we walk through. But the promise of who we are is that we are overcomers. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's our identity. That's the promise of who we are despite what we're feeling, despite the external circumstances, that we stand together on the truth of who God is calling us to be. The identity in God. God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have written you in the palm of my hand. I wove you together in my mother's womb. You belong to me. You are my beloved. He hasn't forgotten you in the midst of difficult and trying circumstances. God still wants to affirm the fact that he loves you. He will make a way for you in the wilderness where there is no way, because God promised. It is his word and it is true. Hold on. Keep walking. Move forward. Listen to the voice of God in the midst of your challenges and circumstances. And I promise you that God will continue to strengthen you in the midst of those challenging situations. Dave, can you just grab my board for a tick? You see, the challenge, if our identity stays in what I do, what others think about me, and what was the other one? Oh, what I have. You see, the challenge is, if we think that way, okay, I was born in 1967, and this is the end of my life, whenever that's going to be. I hope you guys can see that, sorry. If it's based on what I do, right? And I'm in a great place, like what I'm doing, my job, everything's going hunky-dory, and I'm like, woohoo, this is fantastic. And then something happens and I lose it. I go down. Or maybe, you know, there's a time in my life where, you know, everyone's like, Jen's unreal, she's really funny, ha, 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 that's really great. But then something happens and someone starts to say, actually, she's a pain of... painful. I need to be careful what I say. She's really painful. She's annoying. She's not doing what I want. She's a rubbish leader. She doesn't listen to my needs. She's not there when I need it. The problem is this culture that leads us to a place where our identity is in what we do, what others think about me, or what I have, leads us on this roller coaster ride. When actually, that's not the way God has designed us. Our core of who we are is what God says we are. Despite life's up and downs and situations and challenges, the truth of who we are continues to grow and our influence continues to get stronger. God is at work in our midst. And what an amazing story of wilderness that we see and we experience this passage of Scripture where Jesus is taken into the wilderness, gives us hope that we too are overcomers and carriers of his light.
Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today. We pray that you would go from here fully aware of God's presence with you to show his love, grace and kindness to the world around you. If you have a story to share of how you've been inspired by God's love and the impact he has made in your life this week or the lives of others around you, we would love to hear from you. Simply email us at mystory@kingsway.org.au. We'd love to celebrate what God is doing in your life and be encouraged by your faith. Thanks again for being with us today. We cannot wait to connect again with you soon.